solutions was how to treat non-religious Jews, Chilonim, which takes a whole different complexion in Israel. We're actually living with them and serving in the army, and they're your neighbors. We live in Chasaris, we live more in Orthodox cantons, in Orthodox little sectors. You don't really have that much to do. So a lot of it is theoretical. How do you theoretically see Jews that aren't Orthodox or classically Orthodox? Whereas here it becomes much more of a day-to-day experience, and one can say it's really one of the pivots of religious Zionism. We talked a lot over Shabbos about the differences between religious Zionism and modern Orthodoxy. This issue, how to deal with Chilonim in Israel, because it's a different complexion, is at the core of religious Zionism. Less so modern Orthodoxy. Modern Orthodoxy deals with a broader or a different set of issues. Okay, so why am I discussing in Parsha Shlach? In Parsha Shlach, the Torah describes a very an interesting karban. The karban of Chitishku, v'lo tasu es kol ha-mitzvos ha'ila asher dibar Hashem el Moshe. That's a pretty harsh scenario where a person erroneously violates all the mitzvos. V'chi tishku, v'lo tasu es kol ha-mitzvos ha'ila. He brings a special karban. So Rashi says it refers to the chet of Avodah Zarah because that's equivalent to the entire system of mitzvos. And there's a special karban for Avodah Zarah. Just to take a sidebar, think about the juxtaposition of spurning Eretz Yisrael and committing Avodah Zarah. The juxtaposition of this parsha with the Meraglim. In theory, someone who spurns Eretz Yisrael like the Meraglim did, so you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's equivalent to Avodah Zarah. But anyway, according to Rashi, in terms of IDing this parsha, this special karban, it doesn't refer to someone that fails at all the mitzvahs, it refers to someone that performs Avodah Zarah. The Ramban has a very, very different approach. Ramban's approach is this refers to someone who doesn't lead a halachic lifestyle, but because they're a shogeg, not because they're a rebel, not because they look at Hashem and they make a stand and they reject all of religion, but because they grew up in a community which knew about Judaism and knew about halacha, but for whatever reason, either an individual was Tinok Shenishba, a classic case where a Jew was captured. We don't really have too many Tinok Shenishbas in the classic sense. In the classic sense, where one person was captured by pirates and taken off to some island and never knew he was Jewish, we don't really have those stories. But in medieval times, it certainly occurred that people were taken hostage for tens of years and held in captivity. But more relevant to our condition, the Ramban writes about communities that say, well, halacha did apply, but no longer. The shelf life of halacha has expired. It no longer applies. Sound familiar? In the modern world, halacha isn't as binding. Or, as the Ramban writes, another interesting story, a person says, you know what, I believe in reward and punishment. I'm just not into it. I'd rather not take reward, not take punishment. Or a person actually believes in the impact of halacha, but they don't want to live a halachically loyal lifestyle. They don't want to get involved in that whole accountability, cause and effect. Basically, what the Ramban does is he extends the concept of shogeg, the label of shogeg, even to people who willfully reject halachic Judaism because they were influenced by a community that justified non-halachic behavior based on all sorts of erroneous claims. Halach is no longer valid. Shchar v'onish is an option. I can either buy in or not buy in. But they're still called the shogeg. Now, this is very reminiscent of the Rambam. The Rambam actually uses the term Tinok Shenishba. From the Ramban, it sounds like he's not calling them a Tinok Shenishba, he's just calling them people who are shogeg. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim actually expands Tinok Shenishba. So it's an interesting difference in nomenclature. If he asks the Ramban, were these people who grew up in communities that don't keep halacha, and therefore even willfully not keeping halacha, are they Tinok Shenishba? No, but they're shogeg. According to the Rambam, they're actually called a Tinok Shenishba. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim, people that were trained not to keep halacha, who understand God, who see Jews, not the Tinok Shenishba who never saw Jews, but they just weren't trained in halachic fidelity, they're considered Tinok Shenishba. The Ramban in Shlach and the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, these serve as the cornerstones for our view today, or at least many people's view today, that non-Orthodox Jews are considered shogeg / Tinok Shenishba. And therefore we view them differently rather than viewing them as heretics and as apostates and as rebels and as people who have left the fold and Elam Chalik Elam Haba, we apply the Shogeg category of Parsha Shlach according to the Ramban, or the Tinok Shenishba category of the Rambam. Again, right now, the differences are not that major. Okay? So that's one level of how to view Chilonim. Now, when you move into Rav Kook, two things happen. So I want to have three levels, the medieval level, Rav Kook's level, and Rav Amital's level. When you move into Rav Kook, two things happen. First of all, he writes a letter to a person whose son left the derech, whose son was Chozer B'Sheila, as we say in Hebrew. In English, it's called off the derech. In Israel, it's called Chozer B'Sheila. And he writes this letter essentially applying the Tinok Shenishba category to this person's son, trying to console his father, who is beside himself that his son is no longer dati. And he writes the father, he says, well, after all, this son didn't get up and decide that he dislikes Hashem or he's rebelling against religion. It's just the trends of today's society are very overwhelming, whether it's ideological doubt, whether it's pleasure-seeking, whether it's frustration in today's modern world. People that leave religion, they're being influenced by these overwhelming forces that are beyond their control, just like the Tinok Shenishba was raised culturally in a way that was beyond his control. So this is a major, major concept. The Tinok Shenishba, we think someone who was captured never understood Judaism. Or in the Rambam and the Ramban, someone that grew up in a world in which he was planted or cultivated with a type of Judaism which doesn't keep halacha because it's already obsolete or because we're not interested in Schar Ve'Onesh. But now Rav Kook is speaking to a father whose son learned in yeshiva, I don't know whether his son did or not, but he grew up in a firm environment, and the father tried to inculcate him with an orthodox lifestyle, with a dati lifestyle, and he specifically made a decision to leave. This was an ideological decision, but since that ideological decision was influenced by the overwhelming secularizing forces of modernity, that person can be called a Tinok Shenishba. So if Cook takes the Ramban and the Rambam and adjusts it, not just to being raised in a culture, but even a personal decision, number one. Number two, Rav Kook, being influenced by Chassidus, takes this whole view and lends to it a metaphysical or Kabbalistic level. Namely, the Rambam and the Ramban are discussing halachically. I'm sitting in front that we're learning a sugya today, whatever sugya you're learning, you're going to parse the Tosos, parse the Ramban, parse the halachic categories, see how they apply. So the Ramban and the Rambam are parsing halachic categories. We have a halachic category of Tinok Shenishba. We have a halachic category of Shogeg. How do we apply them to people that aren't really captured? They're not really Shogeg, but they were raised that way. Are they really a Shogeg or not? And two great Rishonim claim that they're Shogeg, so this lends validity to this position. Rav Kook and his Talmidim, and Rav Amital was very influenced by one of Rav Kook's Talmidim, Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, and he went to hear his Divrei Torah every week, talked about a concept called Segulas Yisrael. Segulas Yisrael means that every single Jew, if you go back to the Tanya, has a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in them, Nefesh Eloka Mimal Mamish, and no matter how distant they are, and how far they wander, and how irreligious their behavior, they have to be judged favorably, seen favorably. So Rav Kook and his Talmidim are taking this medieval concept of Tinok Shenishba and lending a Kabbalistic complement to it. They're not just Tinok Shenishba, that halachically, don't worry, when you look at a Jew who's non-dati, he's a shogeg, treat him as a shogeg, but he's also a kadosh. And he also has a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu within him. And you have to be able to identify that, and be able to appreciate that, and be able to celebrate that. And Rav Amital was always fond of quoting a line from the Tzidkas HaTzadik, or Tzidka Kohen Milublin, major Hasidish Rebbe. This line was actually censured from some of the Svarim, the Tzidkas HaTzadik. This line says that Iker Hayados, five words, Iker Hayados Bikri Hashem Yisrael. The core of being a Jew is to identify as a Jew. Iker Hayados Bikriyas Shem Yisrael. You have a Jewish name, and not just a Jewish name, but a Jewish identity. So that's a very, very low level of Judaism. You're not putting on tefillin, you're not keeping Shabbos, you're not keeping kashrus, you're not, but you say, I'm a Jew, and you're proud to be a Jew. And that's a fulfillment and an actualization of your Jewish identity, of the Nefesh Eloka Mimal, the internal part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within you, that has to be respected. Okay, so the first layer is the Rishonim, Ramban, Rambam. Next layer is Rav Kook, A, extending it even to an individual who was given a dati education and made a decision because that decision was coerced by the cultural milieu of the modern world. And number two, extending it to a Kabbalistic element that every Jew has a part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in him. Kedushas Yisrael, Skulas Yisrael, different words for it. Avas Yisrael, Achdus Yisrael, Gulas Yisrael, different words for it. Now, keep in mind that Rav Kook, primarily Rav Kook, was living in a very different era. He was living this hypothetically. He was living before the state was established. and before the state took a secular tone. And one can say, okay, that was because he still dreamed of a world in which the second the state of Israel would be launched, everyone all of a sudden miraculously turned into Datiim, and the miracles that would accompany the formation of the state would be so scintillating that Vashevose Levavecha, and all the prophecies of Devarim would come true, and the entire nation would commit mass tshuva, and everyone would be Dati. And then you wake up, and the state is born, and it's secular. And not just secular, but remember the original secular Jews were very, very anti-religious. They hated religion. They tried to eliminate religion. So what happens when that vision of Rav Kook not only doesn't reach its fulfillment, but it gets almost inverted, where there's a lot of anti-religious sentiment? A lot of the Haredi view today is a vestige of that harsh anti-religious leftist sentiment that dominated the first 40, 50 years of Medina, the first 30, 40 years of Medina. And today, the left wing is very, very different. The secular community is very different than it was when the state was founded. Rav Amital adds another layer. Rav Amital lives after the state of Israel. He's not expecting that every single secular Jew will become religious tomorrow and not the next day. And Rav Amital says you can sense, and Rav Amital talked about this a lot, you can sense the unique quality of a Jew that the Rav Kook talked about. You can sense the unique quality of a Jew by looking at the morality and the commitment to land of secular Jews living in Israel. When you spend time here learning and living and serving the army with secular Chilonim, you see their commitment to the land of Israel, their willingness to serve in the army, their willingness to sacrifice life and limb on behalf of Jewish history, on behalf of Jewish peoplehood, and the morality that we're trying to establish in our society. Rav Amital spoke about a lot in the context of the army. The irony is that our army is accused of all sorts of war crimes, but insiders know how careful we are, and the IDF's code of morality and the way that we deal with Chas V'Shalom prisoners, the way we deal with that, this is the Segulas Yisrael, not just theoretically that it's going to metaphysically turn into a mass tshuva, but you're able to sense these are people that still have that special moral, ethical gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed Avraham Avinu with, that Avraham Avinu cultivated within himself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, and you're able to sense the Segulas Yisrael, if not in ritual, ceremony, and mitzvahs, at least in their moral conduct and their commitment to the state of Israel. So I want you to see how this concept becomes more modernized by Rav Kook, and then even more modernized by Rav Amital. It's a concept in medieval period, because remember, in medieval period, you had individuals who left the fold. 99% of people in the Rambam's day were the thing, except for the Karaim, except for large movements that were not Orthodox. So the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim and the Ramban in Shlach are looking for halachic labels to still incorporate these people. Shogeg, Tinuk Shenishba. If you want to read a parallel work this week, take a look at the Igeres Teman, where the Rambam is writing to people in Yemen in the 12th century who converted actually to Islam based on forced conversion. The Rambam wasn't writing in the Spanish Inquisition. He lived 300 years before the Inquisition, but he is writing a text that becomes very important in the Spanish Inquisition. It's called Igeres Teman, Igeres Hashmat. Second of all, Rav Kook and his Talmidim, first of all, apply this even to individuals who deviate, but in addition, they lend the Hasidic overlay that there's something metaphysical about each Jew that can be, is inalienable, that can't be removed. Rav Amital is writing after the state is formed, and he says, well, some of that metaphysical element, it's there, but it's less discernible because they're hating or they despise religion. But if you see the way they behave morally, and Rav Amital and Rav Aaron always said this, Orthodox Jews don't have a monopoly of morality. You'll meet many people in this world today who are moral, who are kind, who are ethical, even if they're not Orthodox. And quite frankly, you'll meet people today who are kind, ethical, and compassionate, even if they're not religious. It could be atheists. So don't assume, it's very condescending to assume that, oh, the reason to be religious is because only through religion can you find an ethical and moral code, and only through religion can you be a moral person. It's not true. Sadly, we see religious people who are not, but by and large, we'd like to believe that by and large, religious people are kinder, are soft, are sensitive, are merciful. But you have many people who lead very, very moral lives because of all sorts of moral sources, and don't discount them. If you want to become a little bit more nuanced, well, where does morality stem from? What are the limits of morality? Judaism, Orthodox people see God as the seat of morality, so morality may be different. That's more of a nuanced conversation about how morality is affected by faith and theology. But don't for a second believe that all the people who aren't religious, they're just moral reprobates and degenerates, and all the people who are religious. That's untrue, and it's also cheapening religion. You shouldn't be selling religion to be moral. sell religion or try to become religion to encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you knew you could be just as moral if you were secular, therefore you shouldn't be religious, because the only reason to be religious is you shouldn't be a drug addict and a sex fiend. And no, you should be religious because you want a relationship with Hashem. And even if you could achieve morality without that relationship, you want something more. Okay? Have a good day. My sorry, it's a little bit late.